Blog Talk Radio.
Let the fire fall. Heal us one and all.
pray, Lord.
Lord, send the rain. Pour out your spirit.
Like you promised us, Lord.
Let fire fall.
Heal us.
And welcome to your place. I'm Starla, and tonight our topic is Wisdom and Mankind, How Do They Mesh? Well, in case you were wondering, last week Blog Talk crashed. And for those of you who tried to call in, we're sorry. We did have an 8-minute show. Anyway, if you're listening for the first time, just push 1 on your phone, and that does not put you live at the time. You'll be announced by the last 4 digits of your phone number, and that will place you live at the show when that happens. On this show, we encourage you to make the Word of God your main reference in molding your life. We also want to warn you not to decide what is practical in developing your own set of right and wrongs that you think are pleasing to God. What if you are wrong? How serious is your salvation to you? Since God is the creator of everything and the author of our faith, I think his word is our best source on how to live. But I ask you this, is the power in the word or the application of the word? The battle for man is the application without amendments. God bless Wild Bill with Blog Talk Mom and me to point out his errors and try to keep him on the straight and narrow. Sometimes it feels like it's a full-time job. But we love him, and so we're faithful to keep at it. You married ladies and mothers know what I'm saying. Wild Bill asks all of you this question. What is a lie? Think about that and hear this. 2 Thessalonians 2:10-12. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness, and them that perish, because they have received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Still laughing? Is your eternal soul important to you? So what is the lie? And now we will hear from our great technology, Wild Bill.
Well, hello, Starla. Thank you for doing such an awesome job of reading the introduction there. And don't everybody all of a sudden think, man, she's really coming down on him hard, you know, because that's not how that is. We work on this together, and we try to have a lot of fun in doing it. You know, last week we had some people that called in, and they were open with us, shared their feelings on some of the things about how they... I tell you what, for a man to do that is not something that you see very often. And a lot of people say, well, why are men so closed up? Why are they not so much more open with how they feel and what's going on inside? Many times I think that men do this is because when we open up and share something, we are wanting things to be better. We think also, now you're going to understand, this is where we're coming from, this is how we feel about this. You've hurt my feelings up here, so now this is going to be different. And then the next thing you know, nothing's changed, and so whatever has hurt our feelings before hurts our feelings again. And so then all of a sudden we're really just like, wow, you know, I guess I'm not near as important to these people as I think I should be for people that claim to love me and care about me. So the way men look at things is, okay, this is where I'm going to end up, so why not just go ahead and not say anything and just live feeling like that, you know, what I say or what I feel doesn't matter anyway. And so I want to applaud our caller last week. Not just did he share his emotions in a very adult way, but then he went on and showed a huge amount of maturity for someone that's not been living for God very long, in sharing how that he took those things to God instead of just keeping them bottled up in his heart and his emotions, his mind, to let them turn into things that could actually separate him from God and the people of God. So this is a, I tell you, Starla can tell you that that is a maturity level that I have not reached myself. I still strive for the mark on many things. And usually when a man does finally just explode because everything's built up inside, he it's like everything's going 20,000 different directions, and so the person doesn't really have a clue what you're talking about, and so then you're still looking at wanting things to change, but there's not going to be any change because unless they have some way to catch all the bits and pieces of your mind that went so many different directions, if they wanted to try to put it together for you, they couldn't do it. So it's I want to say how blessed I am to have Starla in my life. I do not know how in the world she puts up with me from one day to the next. My mind is one of those things where if you try talking about my mind, we would have to probably bring in a whole board of psychiatrists to come in, and it would take up probably several weeks of shows to try to come up with my way of thinking on things. So, but it's one of those things that is just really part of the relationship, you know, after the Garden of Eden, the confusion that was put there between man and woman. It's one of those things that still goes on. And you can sit there and say, I don't understand how what women are saying on this, and they can all look at each other like, you know, a big dummy, you know, what's your problem? But we're going to try to take some of this to a different level than what we have the last couple of weeks. I have talked to so many different people, and I was so worried about hurting people's feelings that it, and worrying about that part of it, I was not able to go into the meat of where it was. And some things are like, for those of you who play percussion instruments like drums or tambourines or something like that, if you try to do one of those things and play it real easy, you know, real soft, it's one of those things that's really, really hard to keep rhythm. And sometimes you just, as somebody used to say, you got to let it rip, tater chip, and just let it go. But I do want to say that of the people and things that we're going to talk about tonight, and that it's real important to realize that I'm sharing things from my life, not to be attacking these people, because the people, that, and they'll know who they are. I'm not going to be bringing up any names, but I want them to know I'm not lashing out at anybody. The whole thing is if we all need to get closer to God, if there's things in our life, then we need to go there. And as I shared last week, it's so easy to judge your relationship with God based on God's relationship with other people, with ministers, with song leaders, with Sunday school teachers, with those type of people, and never develop that relationship with God as personal. God didn't tell everybody to go to Nineveh. He told Jonah. Jonah refused what God had for him to do, and so God created a fish. So, you know, for there's going to be a lot of people that was told to go different places and different things, and, you know, we don't read of anything happening. And it didn't mean that something else didn't happen. It just wasn't recorded. But it's real important to understand that your ministry is your ministry. Your calling is your calling. Your relationship with God is your relationship with God. And we've kind of hit and missed a little bit about how judgmental that we all are when it comes to looking at the things of God and trying to apply things to people's life. And even with the people that shared last week, you get to looking at hurts and feelings and things, and it's real simple for someone to say, you know, I am the elder of the church, so I deserve your respect, if nothing else, you know, for my way of looking at this. You know, if you're going to be here with me, then you have to respect my way of looking at this. But then on the other side of that, just because the other person is of less knowledge, the other person has walked a different path through their life that we don't know anything about, is it not just as disrespectful to all of a sudden be? Now, I'm not saying that things are not going to bother you. They're going to bother you. And, you know, that's just part of life. There's going to be things that rub you the wrong way no matter what. And just the other day, just some different things just rubbed me the wrong way. And I really vented out with Starla about it and everything. And I knew that morning when all this stuff was agitating me, it was on a Sunday morning, I knew we were going to have an awesome church service. And I knew that this was going to be my test in one sense. And Starla can tell you, I failed. Instead of keeping my mouth shut and praying about the issues that's been bothering me for a long time, all of a sudden the whole thing just kind of seemed like it shoved me into a corner to where I felt like that all of a sudden as I was the one that was giving to everybody else's desires, needs, and wants, and I was the one that my thoughts process was the one that didn't matter. And so in looking at that, you can say, well, that's practical. You know, that makes sense. You're supposed to be the head of household. You're supposed to establish certain things. And, you know, what you establish for the house should be the way things that goes. But in the other side of that is that sometimes we get to doing that and we want to clean other people's clock to clean our house. We're wanting to clean other people's areas to clean our house. And our house itself, where we live, is a dump. And so, and I realized that some of the issues in dealing with all these scriptures and the things I've been reading and trying to get this all nailed down, that what I was really frustrated about was, is that, and some of the things that Starla was talking about there at the beginning, is it's real easy to get certain principles of God, and it's real easy to go into the real meat of God's Word, but the power comes in applying that Word to your life. And when you see yourself pushed in that direction, none of us like change. None of us find it comfortable to be different. None of us find it easy to turn the other cheek. None of us do. But that doesn't mean that's not where we're supposed to be heading. That doesn't mean where we're not supposed to be going. And, you know, I talk about how people judge, and you look at Saul, who later became Paul in the Bible. And it's so easy for people to judge him. You know, Saul was the evil man that was going out there and he was slaughtering the Christians. You know, he was bad. Oh, Saul, stay away from him. Saul's going this way, I'm going that way. That's sort of the way people looked at it. Stay away from Saul. And then all of a sudden he became Paul because of his, all of a sudden the interaction of Jesus in his life in a different way, where all of a sudden there was something put in his path on his road, and all of a sudden Paul is this great man who was so devout to the things of God, and he was so sincere, and the words of wisdom and the nuggets he's given us to live by and everything. Wow, just the conversion of Saul to Paul. And you know, I kind of keep using this statement here, and I had someone correct me and said, you know, you really shouldn't say that. That doesn't sound very good. But forgive me because here I go again. But sometimes we need to smell what we are shoveling. We need to really stop and take a look, because I have news for you. Saul was just as dedicated to live for God. And when he was going out there to stand fast for the things that was in his heart based on his perception of what was right and wrong according to God's word, as he was when he had his transformation to Paul. The only difference that happened between Saul and Paul at the conversion was, is that all of a sudden it was enlightened to him who Jesus really was. And even then, you find this very well educated man who his family had importance to where they had names that applied to them, to where they had citizenship both as God's people, but they were also considered Roman citizens. I don't know what it took to do that, but it also makes it very clear that Saul was very educated to the things of God. He wasn't some little idiot running around up here going, kill, kill, Christian, you're mine. You know, it wasn't that way it was. This was a man who was very devout, was very sincere, was doing all that he could to live for God. And he, to the point to where if you stood up against the laws and principles of God that he'd been taught, he would hold your robe and be there with the crowd and encourage them to stone you to death. That's how serious he took his relationship with God. And so when that transformed, even then he took that time, as I said, and you can read about it, to go out into the wilderness and to sit there and study, to where all of a sudden he understood the things that were spoken about in the Old Testament, how they came to be in the New Testament. And then he came and he did the mighty works that he did, and being a witness to him. And even then, you look at some of the things that he went through, and he understood. He made it clear. He knew that there was going to be some terrible tribulations and things coming into his life, because he knew there was other people who were just as devout and just as sincere and just as steadfast in believing the laws and principles of God, that there was no way that they were going to allow anything to come against God's word. It's that thing where we was reading the scripture last week, let God's word be true and let everyone else be a liar. And there was many, many people that were there. It wasn't all about just being someone in power and just being angry because of something that was a new life added to them, a new way of living that was presented to them. It wasn't what it was. It went against generations and generations of teachings that they had all been taught. So anyway, we're going to try some things here. We got some scriptures Starla's going to share with you. And she's going to tell you the chapters, and we're going to encourage you to read this. And she's going to read sections of it, and then we have some scripture to where she's going to read it all. But I want everyone to realize that, you know, when you get to judging people, well, for example, I know a preacher in Arkansas, not going to call any names. In his heart, and from many pulpits, he stood up and he said that he did not believe in women preachers. He felt that that went against God's word. And it's so easy to sit there and bring up the fact that one of the last times he was in a pulpit, that he brought up the fact that he didn't believe in women preachers, and then he passed away later that night. Now, it sounds like, you know, it's one sense like, oh, you know, man, you know, God cleaned house there and everything. And I'm here to tell you that that's a dangerous way to think. I can remember when I lived in Arkansas and there was tornadoes that came through, and it did damage to all the churches around our area and not ours. And we were standing like, yeah, God's protecting his church. God's standing up for those that believe in the truth and everything. Yeah, you know, that nothing happened to our church, and look what happened to all these other churches. They must be preaching something wrong. And then, you know, later on, other storms come along, and we had damage to our church. So, you know, it rains on the just and the unjust. But the point of me even bringing this up is because it's so easy to look at that part of this. But this same preacher was the pastor of one of the greatest preachers and teachers that I have ever had the opportunity to sit out in an audience and listen to him teach and listen to him preach. This was his pastor. I don't know how many daughter works that he started. I know they did missions work down in old Mexico. And that brings up another point, that this same man who is so easy to want to judge this one area, because I don't know, and you don't know, that there may have been someone in his area that God planted this deep in his heart not to expound it to other areas where it was, but maybe in the area where he was, there was somebody that was going to come in that maybe was going to say they had a calling in their life that was going to come into the story. And I'm not saying that that's for sure. I'm not going to say that everyone that preaches or stands up behind a pulpit is not going to get something wrong every now and then. But we don't know that there might have been something else there. But this same pastor had a Christian school. And this same pastor reached out to another Christian school, which where I just happened to be a part of, and I was able to go down to Old Mexico as part of a missions trip with them as part of a school trip. And there, in a church service where the Hispanic people were singing the same song we were, but they were singing it in Spanish, and I was singing it in English. And all of a sudden, something about the power of God and how it overrode all of that touched me in a way it never had before. And because of this man's ministry and his outreach and what he was doing there, I received the Holy Ghost. My first true, real experience with God, other than being sensitive to the flow of His Spirit and the great teachings that I had being around other people, that was my first real personal experience at that level with God. And so, you know, it's really easy to want to throw stones and to want to judge and say those things. But if we judge people to that level, remember, something's going to come out and people are going to judge us to that exact same level. And it's not about who's right. It's not about who's wrong. It's not about who has the most and who has the least. It's none of those things. It's about us saying yes to God, as we said before, lining up your life to be what you are supposed to be to where God wants to work in your life. And by the way, that same preacher, not just by chance do I believe it, but Jerry Lee Lewis used to play piano for this preacher. And someone who didn't believe in one God, another preacher, came along and told him, if you leave that church and quit playing piano for them, I'll buy you a new Cadillac. Look what happened to Jerry Lee Lewis. What would have happened if he'd have stayed with where he was if other people hadn't intervened? But there again, you can't say, well, this person pulled me away, that person pulled me away, because it's a personal relationship with how we live with God. So it's not one of those things to where, because you can't stand there and say, you know, God, it's this woman you gave me. She caused me to do this, or my mom didn't teach me, or you don't understand, I was abused as a child, and or you didn't understand, I was full of rotten and I wasn't abused as a child. You know, you can just kind of twist it all around. God has established it when he tore that covering that went between the holiest of holies and the rest of the tabernacle to make it clear, we can come to him direct. We establish a personal relationship with him. He does a personal life change experience with each and every one of us. You know, you can go back, well, was this pastor right or wrong and what he said about women preachers? That's not where we're going with this today. That's for God to decide, and that's for him. I'm of the mindset that if God, and I've seen this many times in my life to where men have refused to stand up, where I've seen that the most devout prayer warriors in the church are women, where I've seen where God uses more women through the gifts and the works of the Spirit because men fail to yield, because men fail and refuse to line up to the things of God. So if God can do that, then who am I to say that God is not going to take women and he's not going to bless them to minister his word? Because it's not the authority of the woman that's being pushed out, but it's God's authority. It's God's anointing. It's God's word. It's God's life-changing power that's being shared. So that's my thought on this. But it's not our place to judge, as I shared last week about this preacher who, you know, going out there with a machine gun and going out to Africa and all these children he's sharing. Part of us would probably say, that's wrong. You shouldn't do that. Well, the fact is, if God sent him there, I'm not going to say he's wrong. If you want to say he's wrong, that's fine. But it's just like we were talking about how God says, thou shalt not kill, and then there's other places where God said, kill everything. You know, God is sovereign. And God's going to do what he plans on doing. And our goal should be to say yes to what he has for us and not be so concerned about what he has for everybody else. So anyway, I have some scriptures here that Starla's going to share with you. And so, Starla, we're going to turn this back over to you. And thank you so much for your help. Well, hello, Starla. Thank you for doing such an awesome.
Well, I pushed the wrong button. Anyway, we have Blog Talk Mom with us tonight, and she's going to help me read some scriptures. Bill has given me a whole lot. And right now she is fixing to read in Matthew chapter 7, 1 through 27. But we ask that you read on your own the whole chapter. And all of it is the Word of God. And do you want to go ahead and read Blog Talk Mom?
Yes, Sister Paula, I appreciate this opportunity. I'm in an area that my phone may not pick up well, but I will try my best, and you can spot me anytime if you can tell it's breaking up. In Matthew, the 7th chapter, beginning with the 1st verse, judge not that you be not judged, for with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged, and with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but consider not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you whom, if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye, then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns, or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many shall say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name hast done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Okay, that was the scripture, Starla. Were you able to hear those?
Yes. Read on down to 27.
Okay. Okay, 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Okay.
Well, thank you so much for reading that. You sounded great. And now we're going to hear some more from Wild Bill.
Thank you so much for sharing those scriptures with us, Starla. And I do want to come back. It's funny, there was a song when I was a teenager. It said that sorry seems to be the hardest word. And I just realized that I never apologized for my outburst Sunday morning, Starla. So before God and all the people I hear in Radio Land, I want to apologize for my outburst Sunday morning, which, you know, I love you very much. And also in talking about the scriptures here with judging, and the whole thing of what is right and what is wrong. This preacher in Arkansas that preached against women preachers, he's not accountable to me. He's not accountable to the women that he hurt. He's not accountable to the people that he stood up to and made a stand as to what he said. He's accountable to God for every word and every action. But on that same note, I'm accountable to God for every word and every action and everything in my life. And it's so easy to want to take the things of God and want to, well, you know, we talked before about people wanting to take the principles of God and putting that over and making that into their foundation. And we talk about how that, you know, some people think that I've arrived to a certain place that, you know, I can be more consistent in my walk with God. I don't have to be looking for drastic changes where God wants to move me up to a different level. I have arrived, so to speak. And, you know, my first thought is, unless you have an Enoch relationship with God, that's not true. And, of course, if you had an Enoch relationship with God, you wouldn't be here. So, and, you know, we've talked so many times how this seems like when you go into the church anymore that, or look on the internet, that a lot of people that claim to be children of God, how their thoughts are on politics and who said this and who did that and whatever slant of the news that they're following as to who and how they believe what about this and that politician. Or they're talking about who has hurt whose feelings or who's hurt my feelings. And then, you know, every now and then someone will come up how they found this new nugget in God's Word and how it's really speaking to them in a different way. And, you know, then we have the process where, okay, do I encourage them for coming up with this, or because I know that they're not someone that's steadfast in God's Word, that they really don't, you know, have a consistent, you know, reading of God's Word in their life or prayer life, or they're not consistent in coming to church or anything with the things of God, you know, do I just kind of turn my back on them, or maybe I just kind of throw it in their face? Well, that's really good that you got that. That's the same message that Brother So-and-so preached on, you know, 2 weeks ago. You know, I'm glad you finally got that. I mean, you know, it's so easy for us to want to take those things. And we can look at some of the things in God's Word. And I know it. I've went through in my life sort of having a relationship with God that was just sort of skin deep. It was just, there wasn't a lot of depth to it in a lot of ways. And I know a lot of God's Word, but there's so many things of God's Word where, you know, we take certain things of Scripture, and we don't take it out of context. We just take certain scriptures because I like this scripture. This makes my point. This is in my comfort area that I can share. And but there again, you know, we can take some of these things and we can take our relationship with God to where, you know, we're in a certain place where we've locked ourselves in, and, you know, you're going to respect me, and I'm going to be heard, and I'm going to be in control of these things. And what we can sort of do, if we're not careful, is we can create our own little spiritual mountaintop. It's our own place to where it's ours. It's our place to where we are. It's our domain. It's where we live. And so everybody else has always got to come to us on our mountaintop. It's got to be on our terms and our conditions and based on our judgment and those things. And, you know, the world says that it's real important that you don't just let people know what you stand for, let them know what you won't stand for. And I think there's some truth to that, but I think that's the world's truth. You know, when you look at God's Word, it makes it clear that, well, you know, that there's some specifics that He wants to have changed in our life. When you look at the scriptures where it talks about turning the other cheek, wow, I don't want to be hit, much less have to turn the other cheek and let someone do it again. You know, and we can take some scriptures and not take others because it puts us out of our comfort zone, and we can get these principles of God. And principles are good, but just like in the Bible where, you know, God had them, the children of Israel, He said, the death angel's coming, and you need to take the blood, and you need to put it on the doorpost and the mantle of the door. And that's all real and good. But let me ask you, how many of you got blood on your doorpost and your mantle right now? Now, at my house, I'd have to go look because Starla may have put somewhere and I don't know about. No, I'm just teasing. But seriously, I mean, you know, that's there. That's in, you know, God told them to do that. So does that mean that's what we're supposed to do? Wasn't it for a specific thing? Now, I know there's some people that's been living for God a long time and they're like, hey, Brother Bill, there is some fantastic principles in that process that we can apply in our life today. And yes, that is true. But then I'm going to go back again. Is the power in the principles of God's Word, or is the power in living God's Word? And you say, well, you're saying we're supposed to go out there and be putting blood on our mantle and everything right now? I'm saying no. Some people will take certain things like that, and it may be something else. It may be something about being baptized. It may be something about the Holy Ghost. It may be something about healing. It may be something about claiming this, claiming that, whatever it is. We have the ability, if we're not careful, to take certain things of God that are true, they're in truth, there are things that should be applied to a certain level in our lives, but then we can turn around and we can take that and we can make it our own little mountaintop to where we miss so many other things that are supposed to be there. If it doesn't come into our domain in the way we want it to be based on how we want it, then, you know, and I know that there's scripture after scripture that talks about that we're to stand fast and we're to, you know, call what's right, right, and call what's wrong, wrong. And there's scriptures that talk about the elders admonishing, you know, the younger people in the church and showing them the way to go. And there's scriptures that lets us know that the ministry, the fivefold ministry, what it has to do. But there again, is that not God's judgment when we're applying the love of God through His Word? And not our judgment. It's real simple. I mean, look at Satan. He led the worship services, and all of a sudden he wanted it all to be about him instead of God. How many people have you seen that to seek the platform? That's what it's all about for them. I got to have the platform. I got to be up there doing something on the platform. And I'm not going to say those things are bad, because when you get involved with things with the kingdom, in my life, I found it calls me to a higher accountability to make me want to do more and be more than what I am without it. So on that set of mindset, there's nothing wrong with that. But when we get to the point to where the things that are special to us should be special to everybody else and should be special in the same way that it's special to us, I don't even know if I'm making sense here. But I got some more scriptures that I want Starlet to read that I think is going to kind of go into this. Because God's not surprised by anything. There's nothing new under the sun. You know, he's aware of how, you know, people can lock into something like, hey, that's all well and good. But just like the thing with putting the blood on the doorpost and the mantle, that was for then. That was for that situation. It's not for now. And so we need to look at the things that were then and see how they were applied for then and learn from those things and find what is the now for us today and apply that for now. And it may mean getting into some areas that's not really comfortable for us. It may get into that thing like where I was at the beginning of this segment where you have to say, I'm sorry. Not to me. You got to make it right with God. We're talking about things that could keep us from heaven. We've got this whole mind concept that if you do two or three scriptures in the Bible and you obey them, everything else is hunky-dory. That ain't no different than the other people that want to take one scripture and say, all you got to do is believe. No action is required, because action's not going to do anything. Your actions, you know, can't bring any good to you. It's already paid for. It's already there. You just got to believe that it was done. It's just like someone sitting up and standing like, well, my cousin so-and-so, he was good people, and I believe he went to heaven, and he didn't do that. It's not based on what we believe. It's based on God's Word. And it doesn't matter if you like it or not. It don't matter if it sticks in your craw. If you want to make heaven your home, you're going to read in between the scriptures that are real fun to read, and you're going to go into those scriptures that are not quite so fun to read, and you're going to sit there and look at the things that are required. You know, we talk about, you got to have the Holy Ghost, you got to have the Holy Ghost. Well, you know, John the Baptist, when he was baptizing people, before he had baptized them, you know what he wanted to see? Fruits of repentance. He wanted to see some change in people's life to show that they were sincere in their repentance. And we want to talk about the Holy Ghost, and I got news for you. You need to look and see how much fruit, not other people. That's not, we need to get past this thing. Don't need to look at the fruit somebody else has in their life. You need to look at the fruit you have in your life, based on what God said needs to be there. It's time for God's people to realize that Satan is on the warpath. Time is getting short. If you really do not want people in your family to go to hell, then what are you going to do about it? You know, I heard a preacher say a long time ago, you want a revival? Be a revival. You say, what's that mean, Brother Bill? Well, I also had a preacher one time, and he used to play professional football, and this was a big man. And someone made the statement and said, man, if I was big as you, I'd hunt bears with a switch. And he turned around to him and said, you know what? There's little bears, too. We're all called to do something. But first and foremost, it's up to us to clean our house first. That's what I was talking about at the beginning of this. It's time for us to go down and look at the things in our life and say, yes, God, let the storms come my way. And when the storm comes, Lord, take the things in my life that are not pleasing to you and separate those from my life. Lord, the things where I'm still falling short. I can't just keep saying I'm falling short, and I can't just keep falling down and getting up. I want to get to that rock that's higher than where I am now. So, Lord, where I'm short on patience. Lord, I know I shouldn't ask for patience because I know what that means coming my way. But, Lord, you see what I need. You know, I had someone make fun of me here a while back because I was praying for God to try me, to show me the things that were wrong in my life. And he did. And it was a horrible process. But I would rather know the things that are wrong that I got time to correct here than to not know and to believe that lie and to sit up there and think that everything's hunky-dory and to get up there and all of a sudden all my good works are as nothing and they're going to be spoken of. Woo-hoo, Brother Bill did this. Oh, he had a blog talk radio. He went out and he witnessed to people. He prayed for people. He did this, he did that. But depart from me, you worker of iniquity, for I know ye not, for you're not none of mine. You think that can't happen? Starla, if you would, go ahead and read those next scriptures for us, please.
Well, Blog Talk Mom, are you ready to read Isaiah 57, 1 through 21?
Okay. Isaiah spoke about the ethical instructions for all of us. This applies to all of us, as Wild Bill was saying. The righteous perisheth, and no man layeth it to heart. And merciful men are taken away, none considering that the righteous is taken away from the evil to come. He shall enter into peace. They shall rest in their beds, each one walking in his uprightness. But draw near hither, ye sons of the sorcerers, the seed of the adulterer and the whore. Against whom do you sport yourself? Against whom do you make wide the mouth and draw out the tongue? Are ye not children of transgression, of seed of falsehood, inflaming yourselves with idols under every green tree, slaying the children in the valleys under the turf of the rock? Among the smooth stones of the stream is thy portion. They that are thy lot, even to them hast thou poured a drink offering, thou hast offered a meat offering. Should I receive comfort in thee? Upon a lofty and high mountain hast thou put thy bed, even thither wendest thou up to offer sacrifice. Behind the doors also in the post hast thou set up thy remembrance, for thou hast discovered thyself to another than me, and art gone up. Thou hast enlarged thy bed and made thee a covenant with them. Thou lovest their bed where thou sawest it, and thou wentest to the king with ointment. And did increase thy perfumes, and did send thy messengers far off, and did debase thyself even unto hell. Thou art wearied in the greatness of thy way, yet saidest thou not, there is no hope, thou hast found the life of thine hand. Therefore thou wast not grieved. And of whom hast thou been afraid or feared, that thou hast lied, and hast not remembered me, nor laid it to thy heart? Have not I held my peace, even of old, and thou fearest me not? I will declare thy righteousness and thy works, for they shall not profit thee. When thou criest, let thy company deliver thee. But the wind shall carry them all away, vanity shall take them, and he that putteth his trust in me shall possess the land, and shall inherit my holy mountain, and shall say, cast ye up. Cast ye up, prepare the way, take up the stumbling block out of the way of my people. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place, with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, and to revive the heart of the contrite one. For I will not contend forever, neither will I be always wroth, for the spirit shall fail before me, and the souls which I have made. For the iniquity of his covetous was I wroth, and smote him. I hid me, and was wroth, and he went on forwardly in the way of his heart, or have seen his ways, I will heal him. I will lead him also and restore comfort unto him and to his mourners. I create the fruit of the lips, peace to him that is far off and to him that is near. Says the Lord, I will heal him. But the wicked are like a troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked.
Did you hear what God is saying here? Do you have ears to hear? You say that is the Old Testament. Okay, here is scripture from the New Testament. By the way, we do have a king. We do not have a king in this country. We have a president, which fits the same position. As we share these next scriptures, remember repentance is for everyone. We're going to be reading in 1 Peter 2 and 1 through 20. 1 Peter 2 and 1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and all hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the days of visitation. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliceness, but as the servants of God, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongly. For what glory is it, if when we be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if, when do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. Think you are special, the elect of God? How many of us stomp on the weaker brother? With Colossians 3, 5 through 11, but do apply 12 through 23 to our own life, because we have been on this journey for a while. And Blog Talk Mom, if you would, read Colossians 3 and 5 through 16.
Colossians, the third chapter?
Yes.
5 through 16. Okay. Colossians 3, 5 through 16. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your heart, to the which also you are called in one body. And be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, in hymns, in spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Is that how far I should go?
No, read on down to 23.
Okay. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters, according to the flesh, not with eye service as men-pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord, and not unto men.
We love to talk about Paul. Have you arrived at this level of your life, or are you even on track to get to this place? We're going to read in Philippians 1, 20 through 23. Philippians 1:20, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I wot not. For I am the strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. And now we'll hear some more from Wild Bill.
I hope that the one thing we see from all this is that, you know, there is a lot of meat in those scriptures there. And as I've tried to say before, and, you know, the Bible says that the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. And to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. We're just taking just a few sections of God's Word where it lets us know the things that we need to look at in our life. You know, I can understand what it's like to be hurt. You would think that in living for God these many years, and you know that I would have more control over feelings and emotions than what I do. But it's a process, and you may not have a problem there, and where you have others. But we need to look into God's Word to study, to find the things that God has made clear that he wants to have changed, and he expects to have changed in his people. And the only way we can do that is apply more of him. And that's the only way we can do it. You know, in my life, I've been in situations where I've been in churches to where it wasn't a church service night, and the people that were there, they were singing and worshiping God. And I can play rub board and drums and tambourine, and I've moved up to go play on the drums. And I was told no. And the reason being was is because I had been married before. And in these people's life, they consecrate the musical instruments to be used for the glory of God. And in their mindset, that they felt that it was wrong to have someone, even though I'm living for God now, to play the musical instruments in their church. And you say, wow. That's harsh. And did that hurt? Like, yeah, it hurt a lot. Do I think the people were trying to be mean to me? No. Do I think that they were established things as far as what lines they crossed and boundaries in their church that they established and that they were holding fast to those? Yes. Do I think they did that to be mean to me? No. But did it hurt? Yes. Do you love those people? Yes. Do they love you? Yes. So what do you do about it? I had to pray. I had to work out my own salvation. I can't allow people to establish my self-worth. I have to either stand on God's promise where it said that I'm made a new creature through Him, or I'm not. For many years, Satan used that to keep me from living for God, because I had people say that I couldn't be saved, because in the way they discerned the Word of God, I'm not a new creature, because I had knowledge of before, then my marriage from before counts. And so I have to be divorced from the person I'm with now, or I'm living in adultery. So, you know, it's one of those things, do I take it to the next level and say, okay, they're right, divorce my wife where we are a team and trying to live for God, where I have family and children and things and have a split household, or do I allow God to minister to me and change me where I am? Do I accept His word that it's not through my works that I'm made a new creature? I do have to submit myself to processes, all these scriptures we read here. But there again, that's one of those things I have to decide. I went to my class reunion. You know, we hadn't been there for years at the Christian school. I'm one of the few people of the Christian school from that time that honored the Christian school by coming to the church service the next day. You would think that they would have me share testimony of the Christian school, the things that were there, and maybe to acknowledge something to the church that wasn't part of the reunion. No, this church has the same standard that they look at it because I was married before, that I cannot be made right living with the person I'm living with now, that I'm not a new creature, that I'm still living in sin because I was married before. And so that has not been put away. Do I think they were doing that to be mean to me? No. Is it something they established as part of who they are at that church as to the standard of their church? Yes. Was it established with me in mind? No. So it's one of those same things. Did it hurt? Yeah. But you have to put your feelings aside. Feelings can get you in a lot of trouble in trying to live for God. If you only worship God when it feels good, or when you're on the mountaintop, or even worse, if you only want to live for God and go to Him when you're in the valley, when you're in between a rock and a hard place, you're not going to have much of a relationship with God. Because He's not going to be able to add more to us if we can't handle the things where we are. You say, well, that didn't make sense. Well, you know, when you look at God on the story with the talents, you know, you say, well, God's no respecter of person. Well, why did He give some more than He gave others? You want me to tell you why? Because they couldn't handle it. Have you ever heard of people that won the lottery and they say, you know, they're going through divorce, their family hates them, they've been ostracized from the rest of the family, and they're broke? It's because they couldn't handle that huge sum of money that came into their life that they didn't earn. And it's no different than if God blesses us with things that we can't handle, then it's going to destroy who we are as a person, as well as our relationships with family and Him. So He gives us on what we can handle. So, you know, it's real easy to want to go and judge things against ministry in the same way.
Well, we have a caller. So I believe it's Sister Kaiser. Well, we lost the caller. My buttons aren't working tonight. Here we have her back. Sister Kaiser, I'm sorry.
Yeah. No problem. Just gave me a blank screen all of a sudden. I know we're running out of time. We're already past over.
We have till we have 30 more minutes.
Okay, now just read two or three scriptures for you.
Okay.
In Philippians chapter 2, you may have, I mean, you have been in Philippians already, but did you read verse 15?
Just go ahead and read it.
Okay, that you may be blameless. For 13. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. That I may, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Oh, I love that verse. Because sometimes Satan will want to put us down, you know, or you're not doing anything, you're not achieving very much. But, hey, Paul said, I'm holding forth the word of life that I might rejoice in the day of Christ because I have not run in vain. That's my whole point. Whatever we are doing for God in the present moment, regardless of what was in the past or what's going to be in the future, but right now holding forth the word of God that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. We're going to have to run, and we're going to have to work for it. And Paul said, yea, even if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. It must have been a seven, don't you think, y'all? For the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, but I also may be a good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. I don't mean that means just Tennessee or Illinois or Mississippi, but your condition, your problem. You know, there's no man that is like-minded enough to take care of you. For all are seeking their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. But you know the proof of him that as a son with the Father, he hath served me in the gospel. I'm just going back up with that verse. It's just talking about be blameless in front of the Lord, be harmless, be the sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation among whom you shine as lights in the world. I want to be a light for Jesus Christ, and whatever people think they have to do and say and hear and whatever, if we can just have our blameless life before Jesus Christ, I think that's an awesome thing. So
yes,
good to hear from y'all and talk to you.
Black Top Mom?
Well, I appreciate everything that's being said, Sister Starla. A lot of people in our generation, the generation 9 years and the ones, you know, that are living now, there's so many broken homes and so many opportunities for people to absolutely get their lives so bogged down before they actually come to God that it gives Satan power to condemn. You know, the Bible says that he came to kill, to steal, to destroy. But Satan's, that's his agenda. The Bible says in Revelation that he is the accuser. He accuses us to ourselves. He accuses us to each other. He accuses us to God. He accuses God to us. He tells us, why did God do this or not do this? And that is his real strong theme, is to accuse. And so these scriptures let you know that God is not confused about who is going to make heaven and who is not going to make heaven. It's an integrity issue. If you took a card, a little index card, and you wrote your sin that you're probably most ashamed of, and you put it right in front of your eyes, and you tried to walk around with that card right in front of your eyes, you'd bump into a lot of things. You might get hurt really bad. You might step in front of a car. But God doesn't do that. He doesn't hold those things up. Now, mankind does. We pay consequences. People have been in prison. They have a record. You know, there's things that we do pay consequences for our mistakes. Sometimes emotionally, the things that I had done before the fruit of the peace of God and the strength of God was developed in my life, which was yesterday. That's not funny, but I mean, seriously, it seems like it's forever that you want to just keep your mouth shut or not think it or something. But, you know, it is a process, and Jorbell's, and I have just talked a lot, and then she was on the program for a long time, and we got into that over and over, that the process is a process. God likens it to silver, tried in the fire, gold, you know, that it's a process. It burns out the things that we want to get rid of anyway. And God said in these scriptures today, he said, I know that. I know, I'm aware. And so that I'm going to honor that effort. And it gives us the word of God, as Reverend Kaiser was saying in Psalms 119, 105, your word, the word of God, what we've been reading tonight, is a lamp to my feet, a light unto my path. And I don't remember the exact scripture text or where it's found, but it says the word of God is quick. It's alive. When we read it, that life comes into us, and it gives us hope, and it changes us, and it changes and redirects our focus. There was one particular time in my life that I was not the most, I don't want to give the devil any more clues. We probably know that. But anyway, I had serious problems. And I had been living for God for, several years, I guess. And this problem sort of resurrected itself, it seemed like. And I got physically sick. I mean, I thought, you know, and the enemy just said, you have not changed. And then he used a couple of people to say, well, I thought you changed. You know, and I thought, well, I did too. I really did think that I had changed. And as I was just crushed under the blow of what I had done and what had been on my mind and everything, the Spirit of God spoke to me through the Word of God and told me what I was according to the Word of God. When God redeems us, he takes the ugly and the sinking and the rotten, and he buys it back, and he redeems, the Bible says, our life from destruction. Only God can do that. You know, we can go through 12, 15, 99 steps, and I'm not against anything that helps anybody. But it takes God to redeem our life from destruction and redirect it so that we're not really pleasing people. It's good, but it's not our highest motive. It's knowing that we please the Lord and knowing that we can't do it without his word and without his love flowing through us. And then we have hope. We have that hope that anchors us. The Bible says it's an anchor. I've been in storms, and I was in Katrina. I've never had anything as frightening in my life. But when we have hope in Jesus Christ, the winds may blow, and they will. The storms may come, and they will. They're going to come. But it's an anchor. Our hope in Jesus Christ is an anchor that will keep us from being destroyed and being smashed against the rocks. He's our lighthouse that shines brightly out into the dark, stormy night and says, come this way. My word, it's the light, it's the lamp. Oh, he's a mighty God. He's a precious God. Only he could take the doorbells that I was talking today about. Let's don't waste the struggles we're having by getting bitter and angry. Let's don't waste them. Let's lean into them because they're the very things that's going to change us and transform us. The minister tonight said there's a big change that takes place. Confirmation, he said, don't be conformed to this world. That means don't let the outside pressures mold you and make you into its shape. But be ye transformed by the grace, the mercy, and the power of the Holy Ghost. Transform is from inside, and it manifests itself outside. And that's what the Word of God will do for us. And the just the Spirit of God dwelling in us, if we'll take the hurt and the heartache and the pain and all of the disappointments that come our way, and I'm sure there's got to be someone listening to this that's going through that. Just know in the depth of your heart that God loves you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. He did not come into the world to condemn you for the things you've done wrong, but that you can be saved and transformed into the image of Christ. Thank you, Sister Starla and Blog Talk Wild Bill. I really have enjoyed this tonight.
Well, we enjoy always. We enjoy having you. You add so much.
Thank you.
I believe Wild Bill has just, I'm thinking he's just wanting to say goodbye. So we'll listen to what Wild Bill has to say.
I hope that the one thing we see from all this is that there's a personal accountability, and we'd be very careful about how we look at other people based on if you don't want people to look at you the same way you're looking at others, and not to look at ourselves as being so high and mighty when we don't measure up to everything. It has to go in God's word as to what he's looking for in his people. So it makes it very clear that maybe we're not quite where we should be, and also on how we're dealing with other people, that maybe we haven't quite arrived yet, and there's areas in our life we need to strive into cleaning up ourselves. And, you know, like I said, you know, you want your house to be clean before you start trying to clean up others. I think the Bible kind of refers to that as having a mote in your eye or something like that, or having a beam in your eye and referring to someone else has a mote in theirs. So it's one of those things that God's aware that these things were going to happen. Like I said, there's nothing new. And he wanted his people to be aware. Not that he wanted us to be aware that it's okay, but to be aware of the things that he's wanting changed in our life. We're going to turn this back to Starla and everyone. I hope that you've been blessed or got something out of this. I know we've had a lot of scripture, and they can open us up if anyone's got any comments or questions. And I also want to acknowledge we've had some comments from people, possibly about some guest speakers coming up. And also, for those of you that have music group in your churches and things, if you have a song that you'd like for us to add to our library to possibly play at times, we're going to try to get more people involved. And so if you send us either your chorus group, choir group, or even if you have something, a little trio, or maybe you sing a solo, just whatever it is, if you'll send that to us, we'll look at adding that to our library and putting that in there. But anyway, we want to turn this back over to the studio, and I do want to thank everyone again who's been so patient with us as we've been trying to get this out, and I hope you've received something from this. I can tell you for a fact that it's really caused me to look at a lot of things in my life that I need to change, because the last thing, like I said, I don't want, once everything's been announced that I've done and my life's been looked at, all the things great and small, for it to be that I didn't make it. And on top of that, I don't want it to be that none of you make it either. Or maybe I didn't say that right. I want to hear that all of you made it. So my double negative here made it sound like I wouldn't say what I meant to say. So, but anyway, we're turning this back over to Starla, and God bless each and every one of you.
And now we're going to hear from Wild Bill Live. How are you?
Is it real or is it Memorex? Hey, I love what Blog Talk Mom said there, because as listening to this, it's really hard to do the pre-recording thing and try to make it make sense when you're down there talking to yourself sometimes. But it's, you know, we talk about all the different aspects and all the different things we need to look at to be in our life and look at those as possible fruit. But I love what she said, this process. And it's not about all of a sudden we got to go 20 steps for this and 7 steps for that. It's putting on more and more of God. It's putting on more and more of his word. It's allowing him to make those changes in our lives that's going to give us those things where we're going to be more steadfast, where we're going to have more for our brother, where are thinking is going to change from judgmental to others and realize that our power is still, and other people are going to be drawn to the power of God in us, not drawn to us, and they're going to see the things that changed in our life, and they're going to see that there's something different about the people that have the strength of God's power in their life, and that's what they're going to be drawn to want to change. So I didn't want it to be where we're browbeating somebody, like, you know, hey, you've got to do this, because it's so good what Block Hall Mom said. He didn't come to condemn us. He came to save us. And you know, with the letter of the law, kill it. And one of the things that was cut off there, I was important for church to set up format of things that's going to be structured within church of what they won't allow and what they will allow, then that should be a guide to all of us, that we need to establish certain structure. With, it ain't just going to church and hearing the word of God. It's application of God's word. It's not just the seeing that there's a process. It's submitting yourself to the process. And that's one of the things God's been really dealing with me. And you can probably hear it in all these scriptures that God's just bringing to me, the tons of them, of the things that, you know, he's wanting me to see that I need to have a deeper walk with him than I've ever had before, that there needs to be more fruit of the things he's done in my life. So I want to thank everybody for helping out. And believe it or not, I'm fixing to pull into the way station, so they're going to disconnect me from the phone. But I really appreciate all of you and pray that God bless each and every one of you.
Well, Blog Talk Mom, do you have anything you want to add?
I think it's just, that was just the right touch to close it all off. So are we ready? Do we need something to finish our time, or can we call it an evening?
I'm sorry?
Is it okay to close now, or do we need to do anything?
No, we can close now. We want to thank everybody for listening, and we hope that you have a very blessed week, and we'll see you back here next week.
Sister Starla?
Yes?
I want to tell you about this lady that sings really good. Her name is Lively. She sings with Sister Kaiser, so I will be sending you a tape.
Okie doke. Well, I will enjoy that. Maybe sometime we could hear you on the Blog Talk radio show singing.
That would be super, I think, just
That would be awesome.
I would like to mention that the minister tonight used the metamorphosis of the caterpillar all the way through his sermon, and this lady looked over at me and she said, the woolly worm. So I will be having a new edition of the woolly worm available in a few weeks if anybody wants to go to Amazon, or a new publisher called the Snowflake. Snowflake published. No, it's not. It's Snow. I don't know what it is, but it's Snowfall. Snowfall Publishers.
You know, people that are looking for something and get lost in the scripture sometimes, and you try to find actual practical application of things, I think you should explain how just a little bit about your book can help people that are struggling with that.
The minister tonight brought a very dynamic evangelist, and he brought out a couple of things that I know in studying about it, but the word in Romans where the Lord says be transformed is the word metamorpho, which means like the same situation that happens in the little woolly worm or any caterpillar. And God, his point was that God repeatedly says that creation, his creation, speaks and gives lessons if we'll just listen, if we'll just really look at what happens. When he said that a lot of people in churches want to make better caterpillars out of caterpillars. And what God wants to do is make a full-fledged transformation so that they are the butterflies. You know, that is totally of a different, what the little caterpillar eats Somebody is very exclusive. He's very totally concerned with what he wants. He doesn't care what he destroys. But on the other hand, the butterfly or the moth or whatever is very selective and is very careful and only desires sweetness. So there's a full change. But it's just one of the points was, if he's a still a caterpillar, you may still want to be getting drunk every Saturday night. But when the transformation takes place, your appetites are different. You don't want to get drunk. And I've always been thrilled at the sermons through the years where people say that God changes your want to. He changes that. I may slip, I may fall, and I will, and I have. But I don't want to slip in. I don't want to live that lifestyle. I want to come back to the Lord and pour him on the Lord and hear his being. Let that miraculous, supernatural change take place. And God accepts my obedience and my yieldedness to him and makes me. He makes me. A great change. He makes it. He makes it happen. And that's why we shout and we sing, we want and we do. It's not because the music's all that great, even if it is. It's because something has changed. You're no longer bound. We can sing a song, He Set Me Free. Once like a bird in prison, I dwell. No freedom from the law I felt. But praise God, the Lord, the power of God came and broke those chains to set me free. When we sing one of the beautiful young ladies at church, when we talk to live, because He lives. Because God lives, because it overcame the horrible crucifixion, the terrible things that happened to him, and he in that thing, he came out, he rose again, and because of that, we can live. We can live victorious. And it can be trouble with saying through our prayer life, we're staying connected with the Lord, letting that light, as we were talking about, letting it lead us, let it shine on us. Let it illuminate us, and let it lead us every day in the path of righteousness for His name's sake and the glory of God. So the book, The Willing One, is the mixture of the metamorphosis, the great miracle that God does, and also my life, my personal testimony, and then also many, many scriptures that help with
people that have helped me in counseling through the years. So I would love to share it with anybody that would be interested. The Willie Bone.
That's good. I want to encourage everyone to try to get a copy of that book. It'd make a good present. If you got someone and you've got some of the struggles I'm talking about, I'm going through in my life, it's a great study. It brings up a lot of scripture, a lot of things that are practical. That's the things I love about it, that it brings it into where you live. And if you got someone that, you know, trying to find your way, this will make an excellent gift to give someone. So, all right, well, we're right up here at the last of the time. We scheduled it so we could run over so we wouldn't get interrupted with a commercial. I never agreed we'd fill up all that time. It goes so fast with me sitting there rattling these recordings. So, our best each of you, and we'll be back next week.
With our 2-hour show.
Good night.
Good night.